I was talking to Steve this week, and I said, what do you think about the series on Heroes of the Faith? Is it encouraging or discouraging? And he said, well, he said, I don't know if I'll ever be able to measure up to John, Betty Stamm, Eric Little, Hudson Taylor, or George Mueller. And so I was thinking about it and wondering, what should be the takeaway? And I don't think that I ever will either. But how should we respond to these people who are great examples of having faith and demonstrating that faith in God? Well, years ago, I used to love to watch basketball. Boston Celtics. Maybe not that many years ago, because that was the rivalry between Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And, of course, they're still alive today and still commenting on basketball, and some of the things they say is pretty neat. But I like to watch Larry Bird. I was watching Larry Bird one day, and I can't even tell you which position he played. I think it was a forward. And he stole the ball. And he dribbled down the court, and instead of slam dunking the basketball, he had this little spin move where he got right by the front of the basket, and he'd spin around and give a little layup, little hook shot, and the ball would go right in. And I was very impressed with that. So I would practice it, you know, and through the years, I played ninth grade basketball. You know, that was the extent of my career. And I played in a church league one time, and that was fun, but we only had one play. Get the ball, pass it to Peter. Peter played intramural at Syracuse University. Never was able to be on their team, but I can't believe that he wasn't. He was just too short, but he had the moves, and he was that good. So he would score like 70 points in a church league. You know, we just get the ball, pass to Peter, he'd go down. There are guys, well, that's another story anyway, but I learned this little move, and I never used it, but I did teach it to my daughter, Melissa. And so, you know, we'd play on the court, you know, and she'd practice, and she was on a pretty good team. In fact, in their division, they played at Hartwick College for the championship, whichever division it was. And they just had a very good, they won. But she would lurk as a forward, and she would wait for the point guard to pass it to the other person. And she would streak down, steal the ball, and she would have a fast break. So during the championship game, I could just see her. I would pay her to be aggressive. You know, for every basket, I'd give her 50 cents, you know, and for steals. And if she wasn't playing aggressive enough, I'd pay her for fouls. If she fouled out, she didn't get anything. So every time we'd sit in the stands with the other parents, and every time Melissa would score, all the other parents would go, cha-ching! So anyway, championship game. You could see Melissa just lurking there, you know, watching the point guard come up with the ball. And sure enough, as she passed it to the wing, Melissa sprinted up, grabbed the ball, had a fast break, got down by the basket, perfect pirouette, and hook shot into the basket. Wasn't the winning score or anything, but I was a proud dad. Her coach called her over and said, if you ever do that again, I'm taking you out of the game. So it was second generation from Larry Bird, but it was his play, and I had passed it on from Larry Bird to Melissa, and I was very proud of her. And so if the Lord uses any of these messages this summer on the heroes of our faith to encourage you to step out and do something by faith, that would be wonderful. I'd feel like Melissa making that fast break in the championship game. George Mueller was born on September 27th, 1805. It's a long time ago. But he continues to be one of the examples of great faith. And just wondering, how many have taught about the life of George Mueller in release time or Vacation Bible School, or you use one of those. Mona has this, Darlene has. But he is one of those examples of people that we look to, as we look to Larry Bird in basketball. Maybe now you'd have to say LeBron James or Stephen Curry. But to look to as a hero of our faith and a person who prayed and saw God answer prayer. Most of us have heard of the time when he would sit down with the orphans in the orphanage and thank God for food that wasn't there. And just at the right time, a bread truck or a meat truck would break down. I think the bread truck broke down and brought him all the bread, and the meat truck was going around the corner and the doors flew open and hams flew out the back of the truck. I don't know. They're just stories like that, you know, just prayer with believing that God would hear and answer prayer. Well, he was born in what is now Germany. His father had plenty of money and shared it generously with his children. This led to high expectations and also sinful indulgences by young George. At a young age, he began stealing from his father. Later, he was jailed for stealing from businesses. He was the kind of guy that would go to the best restaurant and then try to sneak out the back door. That was his life. He stayed in jail until his father bailed him out and repaid the businesses that he had stolen from. The one thing that he learned was the generosity and love of his earthly father. While his father was not a Christian, he wanted George to go into the ministry. At that time, and in that country, the government was tied to the church, and George would make a good salary and be able to take care of his dad as he grew older. And for a time, George lived a double life. In school, he intellectually learned all about Christianity, including mastering Greek and Hebrew. But on the other side, he always ran around with the troublemakers. He, at that time, made friends with a friend named Beta, and he thought Beta would be a good friend and encourage him in a positive way. Beta, at the same time, was looking for a troublemaker to guide him down that path. Well, one day, his friend invited him to a small group meeting. George decided to join him. The group was filled with people who had a real faith in the Lord Jesus. On his knees, George trusted Jesus Christ to become his personal Lord and Savior. From that point, everything in his life changed. He started to read the Bible. He learned that the greatest way to live was complete dependence upon God. In the course of his life, Mueller read through the Bible 200 times, 100 times on his knees, as he searched for the promises of God to claim by prayer. 3 years before his death, Mueller wrote, "I never remember in all my Christian course a period now of 69 years and 4 months that I ever sincerely and patiently sought to know the will of God by the teaching of the Holy Ghost through the instrumentality of the Word of God, but I have always been directed rightly. But if honesty of heart and uprightness before God were lacking, or if I did not patiently wait upon God for instruction, or if I preferred the counsel of my fellow men to the declarations of the Word of the living God, I made great mistakes." When people would ask him why he started the orphanages, he would tell them, "The first and primary object of the institution was, and still is, that God might be magnified by the fact that the orphans under my care were and are provided with all they need only by prayer and faith, without anyone being asked by me or my fellow laborers, whereby it might be seen that God is faithful still and hears all prayers." Some of the verses that touched his heart were Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Mark 11, 24. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? George took these verses to heart and began to pray for the daily provision of his own personal needs and the needs of an expanding ministry. Keeping a notebook of two-page entries became a daily habit for George. On one page, he wrote the petition and the date, and on the opposite, he entered the date of the answer. By following this procedure, he was able to keep track of definite petitions and their specific answers. He advocated a similar method to believers who desired specific results to their prayers. Each believer could write down the petition and its date followed by the date of the Lord's answer to prayer. He testified in his middle years that 5,000 of his definite prayers had been answered on the day of asking. Like Hudson Taylor, George Mueller had a partner in ministry, Brother Craik. As I read the story of his life, I wondered how important it was to have a co-worker for mutual encouragement. At prayer meeting last week, I shared with Sunday school as well, Steve and I had both written down verses on encouragement, how Paul went back to the churches again and again to encourage them. And we need that same Christian encouragement in our lives today. Together, Mueller and Craig were led by the Lord into greater dependence upon Him and not to trust in their own abilities. In 1834, they began a new organization that seemed to be a combination of a church and a mission. They called this the Spiritual Knowledge Institution for Home and Abroad. Their organization guidelines were, number one, we consider every believer bound to help the cause of Christ. We never intend to ask unconverted persons of rank or wealth to countenance this institution. In the name of God, we set up our banners. And so at that time, the wealthy would sponsor churches. And he said, no, we're only going to trust in the Lord to provide for this institution. He said, number three, we do not mean to ask unbelievers for money. Number four, we reject altogether the help of unbelievers in managing the affairs of the institution. And number five, we intend never to enlarge the field of labor by contracting debts, but in secret prayer we shall carry the wants of the institution to the Lord and act according to the means that God gives us. Number six, we do not reckon the success of the institution by the amount of money given, but by the Lord's blessing upon the work. Number seven, we desire to go simply according to the Scripture, without compromising the truth. Number eight, we consider it unscriptural that any person who does not profess to know the Lord themselves should be allowed to give religious instruction. The institution does not assist any adult school. The main difference between the two is that the teachers are believers. Number 9, to circulate the Holy Scriptures. And number 10, we desire to assist those missionaries whose proceedings appear to be most according to the Scriptures. I think during the time we spent with Hudson Taylor, that during one of the persecutions under the Chinese people, the donations for the China Inland Mission were reduced. And at the time, they had 33 missionaries on the field. And during that time, George Mueller's institution picked up what was lacking in their support. So the two stories dovetail together. One dear Christian seamstress came to Mueller one day with a desire to give £100 to the ministry. At first, he refused her gift, thinking that she would need that money. Her response was, "The Lord Jesus has given his last drop of blood for me, and should I not give him his £100? Evaluating the situation, Mueller noticed 4 things about her. Number 1, she did all these things in secret and thus proved that she didn't desire the praise of men. Number 2, she remained as before, a humble and lowly mind. She gave her money for the Lord and not to impress others. During all the time that she had this comparative abundance, she did not change her lodging, dress, or manner of life. She remained in every way the poor handmaiden of the Lord to all outward appearance. And number 4, she continued to work at her sewing all this time, earning 3 shillings or a little more a week, while she gave away the money in 5-pound notes. With the Lord's provision, the orphan house was scheduled to open on April 2, 1836. But on opening day, George had a shock. For weeks he had prayed in the materials for the house, the funds for the rent and its equipment, the laborers to carry on the work. But when the orphanage was ready for the children, not one applicant had been received. George had taken it for granted that the children would come. He spent 2 hours at the house waiting for the applicants, and then dejectedly went for a walk. On his way, this thought rushed to his mind. I have prayed about everything connected with this work, for money, for a house, for helpers, for the various articles of furniture, but I have never asked the Lord to send me orphans. That night, George humbled himself in prayer, prevailing with God to send children for the home. His faith once more brought the Lord to his aid, and the next day he received his first application for entrance. Within a month, 42 children sought admission, with 26 already in the home and more arriving each day. Mueller had confidence in the work of God in his life. He believed in 5 overall conditions for answered prayer, and each one of us can learn from the list that he created. First of all, entire dependence upon the merits and mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only ground of any claim for blessing. Total dependence. The second one, separation from all known sin. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us, for it would be sanctioning sin. Psalm 66:18 is the basis. Number 3, faith in God's word of promise as confirmed by his oath. Not to believe him is to make him both a liar and a perjurer. He said he would do it. Number four, asking in accordance with His will. Our motives must be godly. We must not seek any gift of God to consume it upon our own lusts. And then number five, importunity and supplication. There must be waiting on God and waiting for God as the husbandman has long patience to wait for the harvest. You'll notice that all of these principles are based on familiar verses from the Bible. That's what we can trust in. The promises and the person of God. Now I was thinking about this. If we were to take these things in His example to heart, what would we do today? Well, the most obvious thing today is pray for kids for vacation Bible school. And then invite them because Bill and Karen, our missionaries, are coming and they're prepared for this. And down in the Caribbean, they have hundreds of kids come to their vacation Bible schools and they go into public schools down there and just so well received. And we certainly wouldn't want to have them come to vacation Bible school and have three kids show up. So let's make it a purpose that we have this week to pray for Bill and Karen and to pray that the Lord would give us kids in our vacation Bible school. That He'll bring in many kids. And then do what you can. You know, if you have kids, definitely bring them. But if you have kids living around you or grandchildren, make sure that they're able to come and be a part of this program. Encourage them to bring their friends as well. So make that a priority this week. But specifically prayer. Pray that the Lord would bring kids in, touch parents' hearts, that they might come to know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. I did some thinking about orphanages. And orphanages are not very well received today. They just seem to be in other countries. That's another story. I think I shared again with Sunday school that I had an acquaintance in Kenya, the bishop of the Africa Inland Church, Bishop Yego. He has the responsibility of over 3 million Christians in Kenya. And a lot of responsibility. But in Kenya, when I knew him, people were dying in Kenya from AIDS to the tune of about 500 people a day. That's like a jumbo jetliner going down every day. There were villages in Kenya with no person over the age of 17. Bishop Yego and his wife had an orphanage in their home of 65 children that they were caring for just on their own. I imagine there was a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Probably not even that, probably rice and beans. But the Lord using them. But what are the needs? And I think that's what we as a church need to do. We need to consider, what are the needs that surround us? What are the needs in our community? You know, some churches do foster care and have people come in and teach foster care in the churches and qualify the people in the church to take children in. That might not be an option for our church, but I can think of some things that we possibly could do to reach out into our community to fill real needs as we dedicate ourselves and our church to the Lord. It's a day-by-day experience. We sang that day by day and with each passing moment. Strength I find to meet my trials here. Does it take faith in our Christian lives to do what God has called us to do? Some of you may answer, well, yes, it does take faith. But is there something in your life that you are attempting for God that would fail unless He intervened? It's a good question for us to ask. Because that's the way it was with George Mueller and the thousands of children that he took in. At one time, he was planning a building for 300. And he realized because of the applications, he had to up it to 700. But thousands of children were taken care of at the same time through that ministry, and all supported through prayer. And it wasn't only the hams falling off the back of the truck or the bread that was in the delivery wagon that was broken down in front of the orphanage. Mostly it was financial contributions that would come in. Just like that lady who received so much when her father died. And she said, I don't want to change my lifestyle, but I want to provide for the work of the Lord. And through the wisdom that the Lord gave, she used her finances. And the little things in our lives, you know, I just look at the way George Mueller lived and then I look at my closet. I don't throw away very much stuff and I don't wear too many things out. But I think I'm going to have to go through some of those things and pass them on to the rescue mission. You know, the food that I have, you know, the freezer is full, the shelves, the canned goods, you know, there's so much food. When I think, when was the last time have I ever really honestly had to pray, Lord, we need food? You know, sometimes it's been close, but not recently. How do we live our lives? Am I living my life by faith? It's what George Mueller challenges me to do. Where is my faith? Father, as we come to the end of this service, I pray that you would challenge each one of our hearts to know what it is that you would like us to do that would stretch our faith, a ministry that we could be involved with that is outside of our comfort zone, a ministry that would help us to have to depend upon you more and more. I thank you, Lord, for the faith of the people who make up this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for their service to you, for their love for you. And I pray, Lord, that our faith would continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.